Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12, if you would, please. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. We'll begin in verse 9. I'll begin by myself out loud. You can join me out loud on the even verses as we read down through the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 12, and I'll begin in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Here we are in Romans chapter 12, and I'm guessing that you noticed the phrase that we're going after today. To be instant in prayer, right? How many of you guessed it? Right? How many of you know I'm predictable? Yes. Okay, very good. You should have, over the course of the year, figured I'd get to this at some point in time. And here's the thing. Going into this many, many weeks ago, I was all excited. I had this thought in my head, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna talk about people being ready to pray in a moment, and you know, being always thinking about prayer and ready to jump into prayer, and I'm thinking about, you know, all right, we could talk about like the Minutemen, you know, of the Revolutionary War, and you know, they were ready in a minute, you know, because we instant in prayer, right? Instant oatmeal, you know, instant potatoes, instant rice, you know, we're ready, and just, you know, and I'm thinking about all these illustrations. And then I get to, you know, reading and looking up the words, and I'm like, huh, it doesn't mean that at all. How many of you knew that? One person. Okay, that's not fair. You got a pastor back here. It doesn't mean that at all. The word instant isn't in our Bibles very often. I think it was 8 times. Most of the time it means in a moment or suddenly or quickly, or in an appointed time. That's what instant means, generally speaking. But in this passage of scripture, it doesn't mean quick. It doesn't mean not making delay. It doesn't mean without intervening time. It doesn't mean immediate. It means something different. And so as I was, my balloon was deflated and my message just fell to pieces and all the points that I had planned. God began to press on me what this means to be instant in prayer. Now, how many of you like context? You context is important. All right. Romans 12, great passage of scripture. And let me encourage each one of you, as I would encourage young people, including Andrew Reed. Look, memorize Romans chapter 12. Great chapter of the Bible to memorize. Because it's talking about the Christian life. And how we're supposed to be built as Christians. Just look at verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so think about this. When we go to God with, if you will, the solemn address to the Supreme Being, remember, that's what prayer is. I'm going to keep reminding you of that. Every time I say it, that's the definition. What are we doing before His throne? presenting ourselves to Him. So this is a manner of life. This is, you say, this is God, this is who I am. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. By the way, do we want to be accepted in His presence? Yeah. Do we want our prayers to be accepted? Yeah. I mean, David, we're going to talk about this, but David, many times he's begging God to accept his prayers, to hear his prayers. But whose responsibility is it to make them acceptable? Ours. It's ours. And so he goes on, he says, and be not conformed to this world. By the way, if we are, we're not going to be accepted. And he says, we're supposed to be transformed, verse 2, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the way, folks, isn't that what it's all about? When we do what we're supposed to do, we actually prove that God is true and every man a liar, right? Think about this. Why did God say to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? To prove. And what did Job do? He proved it. He proved it. We talked about that this past Wednesday. So as we go through this, just keep on going here with me, as we look through Romans chapter 12, he says, for I say through the grace of given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. So what does he warn? Remember, we talked about this, that God gave Paul, the messenger of Satan, remember that? To buffet him so that he wouldn't think of himself more highly than he should. Right? So think about that for a second. Because that's important. Because we've got to be careful. Because listen, as we do clean ourselves up and present ourselves acceptable unto God, we're going to start thinking good of ourselves. That's not a bad thing. But don't think of yourself too highly. Okay? And by the way, sometimes some of the physical infirmities that you may have in your life are not because of sin or not because of bad things. Then maybe it's that messenger of Satan to buffet you that you don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Because, you know, some of us have an element of pride to us that we got to kind of squash every once in a while. Right? Yeah. Some more than others, by the way. Now, but God is gracious to us. And He's given us this opportunity. And look at verse 4. For as many as for as we have many members of one body, in one body, all members have not the same office. So He's talking about we're all different, right? And so how dare you think of yourself more highly than somebody else? Because guess what? I've told you this before, and I mean it. And if I ever stop acting this way, then kick me out of here. I'm not better than you. I'm not. You say, but you're the pastor. Yeah, but I'm not the one you're supposed to be worshiping. I'm not the one you're supposed to think is the greatest. He is. Okay? And so I'm a church member too. I just get to be the one in this position. Why? Well, y'all voted, okay? So blame yourselves, okay? It's your fault. No, because God appointed me to do such, but that doesn't make me better. Doesn't make me more important. It doesn't make me more spiritual. All right? It just means that I have a position. By the way, you have a position. We all have a position. And guess what? The head's important. The brain's important. The eyes are important. The finger's important. Okay? The hairs in your nose that stopped all the germs from getting into your body are important. Some of you may be nose hairs. I mean, that's okay. Well, I need to pray for y'all more. You have to deal with me. He called us nose hairs. Oh, well. You're important. I love you, nose hairs. So does God. But we're all members one of another. In verse 6, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. By the way, if you don't think you have any gifts, you're wrong.
We all have ones. We all have some. We all have different ones. And they're not all the same. Okay, because listen, if I had to preach to a congregation of people that were just like me, I think I'd give up. Okay, I'm glad you're all different. I'm glad you're not me. Very glad. But we're all different, and whether it be prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. That he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. He says, let love be without dissimulation. So don't be, you know, apportion it differently. Well, I love you more and I love you less. No. Let it be together. Let it be good and complete. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. So you see, he's building a case here. All this whole Romans chapter 12 is how the Christian is supposed to be built, to be structured, to make ourselves an acceptable thing in the presence of God. So what else makes us acceptable? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. All these things are part of the build, right? They're part of the characteristics that we should have as Christians. And here's another characteristic in what a Christian is supposed to be. It's in verse 12. It's one in the list. You can't separate it. You understand this. I'm not trying to take it out of here. I'm trying to tell you that this is an element that needs to be built in your life. Just like being fervent in spirit. Just like serving the Lord. Just like rejoicing in hope. Just like patient in tribulation. Just like not being slothful in business. Just like being kindly affectioned. Just like preferring one another. Just like abhorring that which is evil. Just like cleaving to that which is good. Just like having love without dissimulation. And just like the ministry and exhortation and giving and ruling and diligence and mercy and cheerfulness and all of the rest, we need to continue instant in prayer. So now let's give you the definition. Because this needs to be built into our lives. It needs to be forged in our lives. And by the way, this is going to come with some fire to it. This is going to come with some permanence. Because it's important to have this element if we're going to be complete. By the way, why do you think this list is so long? Because it's what we need to be in Christ Jesus before God. An acceptable Christian. So what instant means here? It does not mean present. It does not mean quick. It does not mean without delay. It does not mean immediate. It means to constantly be diligent, earnest toward, and persevering or pressing in prayer. That's what it means. When we are earnest towards something, when we are diligent towards something, when we consider something an urgency or a pressing matter, it means it has to get done. Okay, that's what it means. And that's what this word instant means in this case. By the way, this is the only time this word is used that way in our King James Bible. It's pressing. It's urgent. It's something that I need to be earnest about. Something that I need to do and know that needs to be done. It needs to have a precedence in my life. So it doesn't mean instantaneous. It doesn't mean at a moment. It doesn't mean at a twinkling. It doesn't mean quickly. It means that I think it's important. That I'm going to give priority to prayer. And by the way, he uses another word along with this or in conjunction with this. He says to continue or be continuing instant in prayer on a continual basis. Or if you will, use another word, we talked about this before, always prayer. But you understand that we need to continue. In other words, not just once, or not just at appointed times, but on a continual basis, on a time after 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 time. That's what it means to continuing. It means I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do it again. That's what this life needs to be in our lives. So instead of having prayer as that $100 bill that you keep tucked in your wallet for a rainy day. Oh, I'm sorry, the $1 bill you keep tucked in your wallet for a rainy day. There's no $100 bills in here. Okay. There's a $1 bill though. That's nice. My wife left me something. That was really nice of her. Let's do that. You may keep right something, and that's when you only use it in case of. Right. Do you know that that's not continuing instant in prayer? But that's what we do. Oh, I'll pull out prayer. Emergency. I'm hoping they're having that you know, $1 double cheeseburger sale at McDonald's, you know. And maybe I'll find a dime on the ground to pay for the tax. No, not an emergency. Continuing instant in prayer. That it's pressing. It's urgent. We need to. We must. We must do it diligently. I need to do it now, not later. That's the attitude, the mindset that we need to build. Don't forget what he says. He says we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind in verse 2. That ye may present yourselves, right? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The natural man says, I can take care of everything, and when I can't, then I'll go to God. But that's not what continuing instant in prayer means. Continuing instant prayer means that I am pressed to pray. That I am forced to pray. That, if you will, that in my mind and in my being, I have no other recourse but to pray. That's my default. That's my normal mindset where I'm. If something happens, or even maybe before something happens, my first thought is to pray. That's what continuing instant in prayer means. And by the way, to have that in your life, to be built in your life, or to be forged in your life, needs it. That's a transformation, folks. That's not who we naturally are. Go ahead, you can raise your hands at this time if you want to. How many of you, your first thought about something is to pray? Very few. Hey, very few. And it's not an indictment to you. But I'm just saying, for most of us, it's like 10th on the list. Because we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and we're going to ask this person, we're going to do this. And by the way, I've exhausted all these resources, so now I'll pray. That's normal. That's the natural man, right? But we need to be instant in prayer. It needs to be the urgency. It needs to be the pressing matter. It needs to be the thing that we're earnest toward, that we're constantly diligent to do. Continuing instant in prayer. I want to look at an example. So take your Bible, and we're going to go through these very quickly. You can flip if you want to, or you can just listen. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It's not going to make the message go any longer or shorter, maybe. But we're going to start in the book of Psalms, because when I think of somebody who is continuing instant in prayer, I think of David. I think of David. And if you read through the Psalms, if you read through the accounts in Kings and Chronicles, and you understand the nature of this man's life, he was a man after God's own heart, and it seems like that every little thing that happened to him, or every little thing that he was involved in, he's praying. He's calling out to God. He's crying out to God. He's rejoicing to God. And by the way, he wasn't just one-sided. He wasn't a half-done Christian, you know, baked on top and raw on the bottom. He wasn't like that. He, in times of good, he was praying. In times of bad, he was, in times of mid-season, he was praying. He rejoiced and praised God. He cried out and begged God, and, you know, and everywhere in between, this man was always in prayer. So, just quickly, chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me. Hear my prayer." Okay? So, he's calling out to God. He says, "God, when I call, you've enlarged me when I was in distress. You have mercy upon me. Hear my prayer." Chapter 5, verse 3. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." In this particular case, he wasn't in distress. He wasn't in trouble. He was just telling God, I'm gonna seek your face first thing in the morning. I'm gonna go to you, God, because it presses upon me. It's urgent to me. I'm gonna be diligent about coming to you. As soon as my eyelids pop open in the morning, I wanna talk to God. That's what it means to continue instant in prayer. Psalm 6, verse 9. "The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." By the way, that diligence and that persistence and that perseverance comes with confidence and builds confidence. God's going to hear me. So I'm going to go to him because I know he's going to be there. And I'm going to present myself before him, holy and righteous and what I need to be, and he's going to hear my cry. Because God attends or inclines his ear to the righteous. He hears their prayer. Psalm 17, David says, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips." He said, God, I'm serious about this. To feign means to fake it, right? To not be true. And these are unfeigned lips. These are true lips. These are sincere lips, God. I mean what I'm saying. This is not just a good God, good meat, good Lord, let's eat type prayer. Or now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, it's not just a reading. It's not just a mechanical thing. It's real. And I really mean it. And it's sincere, and I'm pressed. It's urgent. I'm importunate, and I'm going to persevere and be earnest toward it and seek it diligently, constantly, instant in prayer. Psalm 35, he says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth." He's talking about his enemies, actually, here. "I humbled my soul with fasting. My prayer returned into mine own bosom." He was even insistent on praying for those that were against him. Wow, that's special. Psalm 39, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I'm a stranger with thee and a sojourner as my fathers were." He says, I know who I am, God. I'm not lifted up. I'm not lifted up in pride. I know I'm lowly. I know I need you to hear me. That's why I'm here begging you. Psalm 42, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." I love that phrase. That's a great verse. My prayer to the God of my life. Hey, anybody think he's serious about this? Oh, he's serious. And prayer is David's go-to. It's the thing that he knows works, and he's gonna use it. And he says, this is my first recourse. This is the thing I think about when anything happens in my life. It's, oh, got to talk to God about it. And that's what it means being instant in prayer. Psalm 54. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. 55:1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. 61:1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. 64:1. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. 65:2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. So you see this man, he is familiar with this subject. It is what he is all about. And if you look at David's life, you guys are listening great, by the way. Don't you understand that prayer, and that's why I used this word earlier, prayer has been forged into the life of David. How many of you like this kind of thing? Brother Adam, we've talked about this before. Brother Adam is what do you call yourself, Brother Adam? An amateur type blacksmith? Or are you like a real certified blacksmith guy person? Intermediate. He's in the middle. Okay. Be cold or hot, not lukewarm, Brother Adam. okay. No, Brother Adam, he's an intermediate blacksmith. He's pretty good at it. I've seen some of the things he's made, and it's pretty fun. I enjoy the subject. How many of you enjoy the subject of blacksmithing? You think it's interesting? I do too. And listen, but you know, being a blacksmith and forging things together, you got to get it really hot. And to do a forge weld, it's got to be the right temperature. And you got to really beat on it, and you got to really hammer it in there. You got to have it the right temperature. You got to have it clean. The metal's got to be clean. You say, where did you learn those from? Forged in Fire. It's fun to watch the show. I know it's probably one of those reality things, but anyways. Those guys, they're taking a grinder. They're cleaning that metal. And they're putting flux on it, and they're heating it up. It's got to be the right temperature so you don't get any inclusions, so you don't get any delaminations. And I know the terms. I watch the show. Okay? And they're banging it all. I mean, they're getting it together, and it's got to stick. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes some shedding of tears and sometimes shedding of blood. And there's an effort there, and it's day after day and time after time and heating that thing up, and it just becomes a part of one another. It's ingrained in it. And by the way, when you shine it all up and you get that finished product, you can see it. Oh, dummy me, I should have brought my Damascus blade in here. You can see it. There's one on my desk. Okay, I'll show it to you after church. You can see those metals mixed together. And guess what? You can't separate them. You know, we talk about marriage, and we use this in marriage seminars and things. When two become one, it's like putting together a sheet of plywood. Anybody ever try to take apart a sheet of plywood? You can't do it. All right? You can't. Because when you pull on those pieces, it takes part of the other piece with it. One or the other or both. And it ruins it when you try to pull them apart. Hey, listen. Once you forge weld two metals together, you're not getting them apart. Did I say that clear enough? You're not getting them apart. I think I kind of mumbled it all together into one word. You never know, blah, 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 right? It's kind of like Southern talk down here, right? You've heard somebody, if you're mad at somebody, you want them to get off your porch, your property, get it out of here! It's just one word. That was get on out of here. Okay, that was all one word. Get it out of here! Okay? Y'all understand that. You're Southerners. You get that? Okay. No, but when you forge something into your life, you can't get away from it. And that's what I want you to take away today, is that that's what prayer needs to become to you. And as you hammer on it and you heat it up, By the way, your prayer should be hot. Those tears should be hot before the Lord. If you just go through and read any of these passages that I'm talking to you about, and you hear and you feel what David was feeling, he was continuing instant in prayer. He was pressing. He was earnest. He was diligent about it. Without delay. You know, the early church, I have 25 more Psalms to read to you, but I'm not going to. 66, 69, 72, 77, 80, 84, 86, 86, 80, 88, 2, 88, 13, 90, verse 1, 102, 1, 102, 17, 109, 4, 109, 7, 141, 142, 143. There's lots. What does it prove? It proves that David was a man continuing instant in prayer. The early church took a page from David's book, took a page from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told them, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. In those days, he was an example as he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Remember on the mount, if you will, the real Lord's Prayer. He told them that, hey, you need to stay here and you need to pray that ye enter not into temptation. He's saying, guys, you've got to forge a relationship with prayer so it sticks in your life and becomes a part of your life so that you can continue instant in prayer. And by the way, the early church did. They gave ourselves continually to prayer. They prayed unto God without ceasing, as Paul instructs us to do. They prayed with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit. As Paul encouraged the church, as they put on the whole armor of God and then covered it all in prayer. That's how it needs to be for us. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray as for ourselves. We need to pray for the church. We need to pray for the lost. We need to pray for God's blessings to be upon us. We need to pray for God to show himself mighty in our lives, putting to death the things of sin and of this body of flesh and the natural man, and praying in the Spirit. Watching unto prayer. Be ready to pray. What does that mean? Gets continuing instant in prayer. Peter reminded us that the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You know what? I know, because I looked it up, the definition that Paul was using in Romans 12. But I kind of think that it's not a bad thing to think that you should be ready to pray at all times. But more than being ready to pray at all times, we just need to know that that's the only thing that we can do. You know, of my flesh, it's no good. It's filthy rags. The things that I can do are worthless without prayer. I've got to have it. It's a key element. And it's got to be forged in my life. Go back to Romans chapter 12, in case, well, you maybe didn't leave, which is fine. As you see what he says, he inserts this element into the building of the Christian. If we'll continue instant in prayer, we then can be what we need to be for God. Because without it, we're not going to be able to overcome evil with good. Because prayer is that good thing in our life. It's seeking God's face. It's being in communion with Him. It's presenting ourselves holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You want to be able to deal peaceably with all men? Pray. You want to be able to fight off the devil? Pray. You want to be able to get your mind right? Pray. You want to be able to be blessed by God? Pray. You want to be able to overcome this world and the things that are in the world? Pray. Continuing instant in prayer. You want to see souls saved? Pray. You want to see the church grow? Pray. You want to see your family blessed? Pray. You want to see your children grow up to serve God? Pray. It's got to be forged and ingrained in your life every day. Every hour of every day. Every minute of every hour. Every second of every minute. We've got to be people of prayer. Pressing. Earnest. Diligent. To pray. That's the kind of person that Paul wanted the Romans to be, that Paul wanted the Christians to be, that Paul wants us to be, because he was that kind of guy. What did Paul do all through his ministry? He prayed. He sought God's counsel on where to go, who to minister to, where to start churches, who to see saved. He prayed. He even prayed for things that probably wouldn't happen. He prayed for Israel to be saved. He prayed that he could go to certain places and God didn't allow him to go. He prayed for things that he wanted, but maybe they didn't come. Like that messenger of Satan to be removed. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Prayer doesn't work. It works. But you got to work it. And that's what it means to continue instant in prayer.